Grab one hand on your Bible, one hand on your coffee. Would you hold it high with me today? How many of you own a Bible, by the way? How many of you own one? Yeah, that's awesome. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of James? The book of James, chapter 5, verse 16. 16b. James chapter 5, 16b. Want to read just a few words. Many of you know it off by heart. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Let me read it again. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I want to ask you one question before I open a prayer this morning. How many of you would truly desire that 2024 be the most fruitful and fulfilling year of your spiritual journey? If you would like that, would you stand with me this morning? If you are okay with where you are and you're fine going backwards, just remain in your seat, would you? But if you would like this year to be the most fulfilling, would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Just remain standing. Father, I want to thank you again for the work of your Spirit in our life. I thank you today that you are powerfully at work taking words that are filled with faith and doing a transforming work inside of our hearts and minds. Before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, would you take literal possession of my mind and my mouth? I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. With the authority you have given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to pervert and snatch the seed that is going to be sown. I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you again that you are speaking and your church is hearing your voice. Thank you today that you're going to be saying things that are not going to come out of my mouth, but your children are going to hear it, they're going to know it's you, and they will capture it and be obedient to it. We believe one word from you can change everything. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody ready said, amen. Please be seated. Quite a number of years ago now, the Lord laid on my heart on the second Tuesday of January, looking ahead at the new year that was to come. The Lord laid on my heart to preach a message that was counter to the world's pattern of setting New Year's resolutions that last about 2 weeks, and Seth gave a good word on that when we were gone back on January 7. No, Ken was the one who did before that too, and then you had part of that too, where you were talking about the contrast and letting the Spirit work in that. You both tied that together, which was awesome. But the Lord asked me, Lord and I were talking, and I just laid upon my heart, and I asked the question. I said, Father, as kingdom kids, how is it that you want us to begin the new year? How do we do that? Different than the world, but what is your way of doing it? And that became our first Declaration Sunday. Second Sunday of January that I had the privilege of preaching, that became the first. And every second Sunday in January that I have been preaching, we have dedicated that to be Declaration Sunday, and that's today. I want to ask you before I begin, how many of you know the name Jerry Seville? Just raise your hand if you know it. Yep. How many of you have ever read his book, The Prayer of Petition by Jerry Seville? How many of you read that book? Just raise your hand high. All six of you. Those of you who've read it, you will know what's in there. Those of you who haven't, I want to encourage in this next month or the next couple months, grab this book. I'll make a promise to you that when you read it, your prayer life will never be the same again. I can say that to you boldly. But I encourage you to do that. If all you did this year is to say, I want the effectiveness of my prayer life to increase exponentially reading that book, the Holy Spirit would use that to take you there, to answer that in your prayer life. This morning, I want to give you a picture. As we talk about declarations, I want to give you a picture that I pray Holy Spirit will plant inside of you, an image and a model and a pattern, and I'm going to say this boldly, for the rest of your life. As God laid it on my heart, I believe that's what he wants to do. And can I just say this, whether it's only for a few hours, how many of you know it's possible that we might lift off the ground this afternoon during nap time? How many of you know it's possible? It's possible. How many of you know that it might be 100 years from now, so we need to be occupying and faithful all of that time till it happens? How many of you know that could be? Yeah, if you get the memo and you know, let me know, would you? But until then, I need to show you a picture. I want to ask you a question first. How many of you in here have ever worked for somebody else? How many of you have ever had a boss that you worked for? How many of you? Just raise your hand high. Is there anybody in here who's never had a boss? Anybody? Even those of you who have your own business, as most of us began working for someone and then we moved off on our own, but most all of us have had that. I need to give you a picture. Paul, could I have you come to the front? I'm glad you're sitting so close to the front. If you can just move your way up here. Now, I just want you to notice how sharp he looks on the way up here. Would you do that? Yeah. Can you have a seat here, Paul? We met in the hallway to the washroom this morning, and we just stood there and looked at each other, and it was awesome. It was. Don't get any ideas, man. Wrong church. But you're looking great this morning. You really are. I would like Paul to represent the boss of a company, the boss of a factory. And I want him to sit in the boss's chair. He's the guy who sits behind the desk. That's how it works. And I want to give you just a couple scenarios. This is the guy. I'm going to be the employee. This is the guy who hired me. He's the one who has the overall picture of what that factory, his factory, needs to look like, how it needs to run. He's the one who knows the everyday ins and out of this factory. So I want you to imagine for a moment that I come in. I'm working for him. I come in. I sit down in the morning first thing, and we're sitting here, and we talk a little bit, and we have a chance of talking about our weekend, and we solve the minor and major world problems. We can do that here in a few minutes in the morning. But after we talk about that, I look at Paul and I make a statement. I said, Paul, I just want you to know what I'm going to be doing today. I brought a great book with me today, and so when I leave here, I'm going to go into the lunchroom and I'm going to read for a while because I didn't get much of a chance yesterday. And after that's done, I'm going to go down to the packaging area because I got some good buddies that are there, and I'm going to go visit with them. I might even help them a little bit if they need it. Then I'm going to have lunch. It's going to be about lunchtime. And after lunch, I'm really needing a nap today, Paul, because last night I stayed up way too late with my friends. And so I'm going to catch that this afternoon. And then if I have a little bit of time before 5 o'clock, I might come into the office area and I'll grab a broom and I'll sweep a few floors while I walk through the office. And then it's going to be 5 o'clock. So just want you to know what I'm doing today, Paul. And I get up and say, have a good day, and I walk out. Now, I want to ask you a question. Anybody who's worked for a boss, how long do you think I would have that job? Say it again. Minute. I'd probably have it a minute. Gone before I get up. No, sit down. Hey, sit down, Paul. We know, okay? If you were the boss, if I was the boss, I know exactly what I would do. I want you to get another scenario, okay? I'm working for Paul. I get up in the morning, and I am tired because I didn't get much sleep last night, and I feel a little tickle in my throat. So I realize I can't go to work today. This tickle has crippled me. And then, no, okay? And then I look at my phone. How many of you check the weather when you look at your get up in the morning? How many of you just, you're curious? How many, curious, yeah. How many of you really don't care about the weather? You just go out and go, oh, this is weather, yeah. But I wake up and I check my phone, and I see that this afternoon is going to be beautiful. So the truth is, this morning, I am ill, and I can't go in, but this afternoon, I'm going to be miraculously better, and it's going to be a beautiful golf day. Okay, I'm talking about a pile of students who wake up in the morning, they can't go to school, and their parents let them, and all of a sudden, 11 o'clock, miraculously, they're healthy, and they can spend the rest of the day playing. Any, don't raise your hand. But here's the cool thing, okay, this is going on inside of me, but here's the cool thing, I've already got my day planned, but I go, I don't even think about phoning my boss. I don't even think about texting him. Now, can I just say, can I ask you, is that a realistic picture of what happens today sometimes? How many of you work at a place, whether you're a boss or you work there, and you know people didn't show up and they didn't phone or text? Just raise your hand, would you? Raise your hand high. I want to just, okay, almost all of us, we know that. So here's the deal. I didn't show up. I didn't phone. I didn't text. I didn't show up at all. The next day I come in and I sit down and go, morning, Paul. What do you think he's going to do? What happened yesterday? Okay, here's what I would say. I go, Paul, I woke up and I was really ill. I'm not telling you I had a little tickle and I'm tired. I'm not telling you that the afternoon was great and I went golfing. You're going to look at me and go, where'd you get that tan from? Don't ask that question. If you were the boss, what would you do? I want to tell you, bosses have to deal with this on a regular today. They got to deal with us on a regular. Here's the tough thing. A lot of those bosses, they're over a barrel because if they fire that person, they're not sure if they're going to get somebody better. But I'll tell you what I would do. I know what Paul would do. He stood up and he showed me his shoe already. He would give me one opportunity. He'd say, Paul, that was your one strike. And the way I play ball, you only get one. If it ever happens again. I understand there's times you're sick, you can't come in. I don't understand you golfing. I didn't know that. But whatever you do, you phone me. You let me know. Is that just reasonable? I want to tell you the pattern that was planted inside of me as a young man going through university and going through seminary and in between getting my ticket and my degree. Every morning, I worked for a godly man, owned a commercial insulation company out of Stony Plain. They had an acreage that was just outside of Stony Plain. Every morning, workday morning, I would show up at 6:30. My boss would be sitting there. His name was Harold. There was a few of us that were crew chiefs. We would come at 6:30. We would talk, solve world problems. And then, at a certain point, my boss would look, and I don't have a pen, but you can get the idea. I would take my notepad and a pen. I had it with me. Every one of us had it with it. He would turn around and say, okay, let's talk about the day. Now, I want you to understand that when I'm working for somebody, I'm not telling him what I'm doing. He's telling me what I'm doing. Are you hearing me? This isn't rocket science, is it? So my boss would sit there and he would say, Colin, he goes, you and your crew, this is where you go. Here's the address, phone number. Here's the guy you're working for. I need you during the day. I need you to go over to this place, have a look at it, do an estimate. Then I need you to run over here, make sure your guys are doing this. Okay, I would write all that stuff down because I'm not smart enough to remember all that stuff. Neither are you. I would get all that down. The other crew chiefs would get it all down. He'd go, some days we would pray, some days we didn't. I would get up. I'd walk to the shop, get my guys, tell them what we need. We'd load up the vehicles. We'd head out. All day long, we were working on this list. Some days we never got through it. We had to go back and get it the next day. That didn't happen often. Some days we got done early. That didn't happen either because he had a good list. Most days we got it done, got to the end of the day, felt incredibly good going home because when I sat down the next day, my list was empty. And we talked on the phone and go, got her all done, Harold. Got her all done. Does that make sense? I want to shift something around now. Can we give Paul a hand? Could you? Thank you, Paul. Except for the boot, you did a great job. Richard, can I have you come and sit in the front here? Thanks for sitting so close to the front. I want to change the picture. I would like this morning, Richard, to represent God. I want to put him in the boss's chair. I know he's not the boss in many believers' lives, but I want to put him in the boss's chair, and I want to paint you a few scenarios. I want you to remember that as a Christian, and if this is God, I want you to remember that we've been bought with a price, right? I remember when my boss, Harold, he said to me one day, I came to work and he goes, "Call, today you're coming to my house with me in Spruce Grove." I said, "Okay." So sent my guys out. I ended up going with him. I get there. He didn't tell me ahead of time because he was kind of smart. Got to his house. He said, "Today," he says, "I've got the machine. I would like you to rip up all the sod on my lawn. Been there for years." He goes, "My grass isn't growing well. I want you to rip it up with the machine. And then I want you to rototill the whole thing. We're going to re-level it all. We're going to lay down new sod." I looked at him like, "Are you kidding? I'd rather go work for you out there." Now, he saw my face. I didn't use my words. He saw my face. But then he looked at me and goes, "Call." He goes, "I own you." He said, "When you're working for me, I'm paying you by the hour. So it doesn't matter what I ask you to do. You do it." I've never forgotten that. I want you to imagine for a moment that here is God. I come and I meet with him early in the morning. And I go, "Hi, God." We talk for a little bit. And then I say, "God, I'm just telling you what I'm doing with my day. And I give you a list of what I'm doing. I'm going over here. I'm going to do this. I'm taking a nap. I'm going golfing in the afternoon. I'm doing all that." And I say, "God, you have a great day today. Nice talking with you." And I go. Don't raise your hand if you do that. I want to give you a second scenario, is that I get up in the morning as a believer and I don't even show up at the office to meet with God. I get up and I just plan my day. I got it all laid out and I don't even phone him to say, "I'm not coming in. I'm not showing up for service. I'm not working for you today. I'm living for me today." Can I just ask you a question? How many believers don't even phone in the morning? Don't raise your hand. But I want you to think about, I will never forget, one of my spiritual fathers was Paul Anderson. We're working at getting him here in the springtime. He's coming to the Bible school to teach. I'm hoping we can get him here to preach on a Sunday. Godly man, met him the first year of my first year of ministry. I want you to imagine for a moment, Paul Anderson said this. How many of you know the name Larry Christensen? How many of you know that name? Larry Christensen was the head of the spiritual movement in the Lutheran church. Just so you know, there are some Lutherans who are saved. There are some Lutherans who are spirit-filled. Can I say that? It's not an oxymoron to be a spirit-filled Lutheran. Used to be, but it's not. Paul Anderson said that one of his spiritual fathers, he worked at Larry Christensen's church. He was a young intern there working with youth. He said Larry would take him into his prayer time in the morning. He said the first time he went in there, he said the first thing he noticed, he sat down, he goes, he noticed that Larry had a pad and a pen beside him. And he said as they began praying, he said he kind of kept his eyes open, going, why would he have that there? And he noticed during prayer times that Larry, as they were praying, would start writing things down. He didn't say anything until after the prayer time was over. After it was all done, he said, "Larry, can I ask you?" He said, what were you writing during all this prayer time? Larry goes, "Oh, while God was speaking to me, I was writing it down so I wouldn't forget it." Paul said on the inside of him, he goes, "Are you kidding? We have the ability to hear God when we're praying. It's not just me talking to him, but he's actually talking." He said that day changed his life. He said he's never gone into a time of prayer without a pad and a pen. Can I just say this? For some of you, that's all you needed to hear today. Because we've gone into our prayer times without a pad and a pen for the majority of our life, not even expecting that we're going to hear God speak to us. Imagine for a moment, I wake up in the morning. First thing I do is I get up, I enter into the Holy Holies with the Father, and here I am. We talk about a few things. And as we're talking, I just look and I say, "Father, I'm not here to tell you my agenda for the day. I'm not going to go out there, do my thing, and not even phone you. I want to begin. I'm a follower. You bought me. You own me. I'm living for you. I claim to live for you. I just want to ask you, what is it you want me to be about today?" And I sit there and I listen with my pad and my pen and I take that quiet time. I have honed the ability to hear the voice of the Father just like Harold when he spoke to me in that job. And I'm sitting there with a pad and pen and I begin to write down. I begin to write down. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But I want to ask you, how many That is the pattern of your life. Every day when you wake up, the pattern is you enter into the presence of the Father and you say, give me your agenda. I'm not giving you mine. I want to know yours. You own me. You bought me. I claim to be your follower. And I take that list. And throughout that day, under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I go about doing what the Father has called me to do. Can you imagine for a moment? Can we give Richard a hand? Thank you, brother. Thank you. I want you to imagine for a moment. You never read it? Okay, you can take it since you were up here. Paul, did you read that book? Okay, you can have it right after Richard's finished. June 1, will you be done? You'll be done way sooner than that. Can I ask you this? Can I just ask this? What would happen, just imagine, what would happen every morning if, how many Christians is claimed to be the world today? How many, what do they claim? About a billion. About 1 billion. Okay, that's the claim. I don't know how many are born again, spirit-filled. I don't know that. There's about, can you imagine every morning if 1 billion believers got up, entered into the presence, the Holy of Holy with the Father, and they asked the question, Father, what's your agenda for me today? Let's break it down. Imagine if 1 million believers, 1 million on the earth, got up, went with the Father, asked his agenda, wrote it down, and lived their life with his agenda, not my agenda. Let me break it down a little farther. Imagine for a moment if there were 12. 8 point some billion people. Imagine if there were 12 who entered into the presence and said, Father, not my will, your will today. How long would it take for this world to be different? I will never forget. And there was a number of us. I think it was the year there was about 10 of us here. We went down to the Believers Conference, Fort Worth. I'll never forget when Kenneth Copeland told the story. He said he was shopping in Rona, and he said he ended up bumping into an older fella, and they just started talking. And my first thought was, in Fort Worth, you're shopping in Rona, and somebody doesn't know you? And they didn't know him. So he's just talking with this guy. They were talking about the renovations, the whole deal. And the guy looked at him when they were talking. The guy looked at him, and the guy asked him the question that most guys do, and they go, so how heavy are you? No, they don't ask that question. How long have you been married? No, didn't ask that question. The guys ask this question. They go, so what do you do? Right? Guys do that. They ask that. So what do you do? Without even skipping a beat, and I remember this. Some of you remember this. Without even skipping a beat, Ken was right there. The guy asked him and said, what do you do? He goes, I believe. Some of you know the story. He goes, I believe. The guy looks at him and goes, what? He said, I asked, what do you do? He goes, I believe. He goes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I believe in the Bible. And so he goes, I am a believer, which means that my job is I believe. It's what I do. I will never forget that. And then they went on and that opened the door and had a conversation. But I want you to think about this. And we're not going to spend almost any time on it this morning. But I want you to think, as you read through the scripture from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, what was God looking for? What was he looking for? He was looking for somebody who would believe when he would tell them things. Somebody who would just believe it. Can I give you a few? Out of a whole world populated with people, he found one guy, Noah, who said, there's never been any rain on the earth here. Noah, I'm going to send rain. Need you to build an ark. And what did Noah do? He believed. Then, out of all the people after the flood that began developing and people were going pagan and going secular, the whole deal, he's going, I want to establish a covenant so I can set up a group of people that my Messiah can come through. He goes, I'm going to look for someone who will believe. Abram, I want you to leave your family, leave where you are. I want you to go to a city that I'm going to build, a place that you can't see. I want you to go there. What did he find? What did Abraham do? He believed. The people of Israel end up in Egypt. About 7 million of them in Egypt. Pharaoh forgot who Joseph was. They are in bondage. They are in slavery. God is going, I want to deliver my people, finally get them to the promised land. I got to find somebody, a burning bush, a guy with no shoes. He's going, I got to find a guy who will believe me. When I say I'm going to deliver those people, I'm going to set them free. I'm going to topple every Egyptian god. I'm going to get them out of there and take them to the promised land. Can I ask, what did Moses do? He believed. How about David? Man after God's own heart. Why did he say, David, a man after my heart? Why? Because he finds out what I want, he believes me, and he does it. He does whatever I tell him to do. That is on David's epitaph. We just did the Christmas story. 4,000 years. Somebody said, why did God wait 4,000 years in order for Jesus to come? Here's the answer. It took him that long to find a teenage girl who would believe in a virgin birth. She believed. And then her fiance, when Mary comes back pregnant, we've seen it, we've watched it, we've read it. When God comes to him in the night and says, Joseph, it's true. She slept with nobody. She's not immoral. She's not an adulterer. I'm the one who made her pregnant without having union. Joseph woke up, and what did he do? He believed. Can I ask you a question? Is God still looking for believers? I find it fascinating in the Chosen series for the first two seasons and some, all that it's about is God beginning to develop around him a group of 12 men, some of the most unlikely in society. He would pull these guys from tax collectors to zealots to cheating fishermen to... Why did he choose those 12? Those 12? Because of their education? Do you know why he chose them? Because they believed. When he told them things, they believed. When he shared with them the impossible, they believed. When he asked them to leave everything, everything, and follow, they believed. He's still looking for believers. Can I say this to you? And I want to ask it in a question. As a believer in God, as a believer in Jesus Christ, what is it that you and I are believing for? I want you to get this picture. At the beginning of every year, you set up that appointment with God. The two of you talk for a while. Then you ask him the question. You go, Father, in this next year, as a believer in you, what is it that you are wanting me to believe for? I want to be like Noah. I want to be like Moses. I want to be like Abraham. I want to be like David. I want you to share with me what you are wanting to do in my world, in this world, when you tell me, oh, it's going to be crazy in my logic, but I want to believe you, and then I want to do what believers do. I want to just tell you honestly, the church at large has a lot of people who are not believers. They're acknowledgers. They're knowers. But they're not believers. But God is looking for believers who enter into the presence of God and say, Father, what is it you are wanting to do? And in order to do that, you are needing someone to believe for it. I want you to imagine that as you sit in the presence of Almighty God, not telling him your agenda, not telling him what you're doing that day, not coming with your Christmas list, God, I want this and I want this and I want this and I want... That's not what this is. Inquiring of him. God, what are you wanting to do and what are you needing me to believe for? And as the Lord begins to speak and lays it out for you, I don't know, when I was just spending time with the Lord, we were writing it down, I just wrote this down as we were going. I said, God, what are the 27 things in 2024 you're wanting me to believe for? I just wrote that down. I'll find out later. What are the 27 things you are wanting me to believe for? Can I just ask you one question right now? And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If I asked you right now, how many of you, there are 10 things right now that you are believing for, you have written down, you are consistent in your believing, in your declaring. How many of you could raise your hand and go, I could tell you 10 right now that are written down, I could stand up and give them to you. You've got 10 that you know you're believing. How many of you could just say, there are 10? 3. I understand that. Been there, done that. This morning, I believe God wants to change that. I want to lay out for you, if you would grab your bulletin, grab a piece of paper, grab a pen. At the very top of that, I would like you to write down a title. We're going to have this on the screen so that you can follow through when I give it to you. If you've been here before for Declaration Sunday, you already know what this looks like. I encourage you to write it down again. If you don't, I want to share it with you so that you get it down there. At the top of it, would you just write down that the title of all of this is How to Believe. How to Believe. If my job description is a believer, I should know how to believe. I want to give you 9 points. Just going to give them to you quite quickly. Not going to talk a lot about them. Would you just write down, number one, you know this, the very beginning. Number one is you inquire of the Lord. You get into his presence, you go into his office, you sit on the opposite side of the desk, and you inquire of the Lord. You say, Father, what is it that you are wanting to do that you want me to believe for? I'm going to ask him. That is what David is known for, is he inquired of the Lord before he did anything other than Bathsheba. Would you write down number two? After you ask, you listen. You listen for his instruction. Let me say it again. I shared it with you already. The true sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. Not by tradition, not by their logic, not by their gut feeling, not by the prophet. The sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. Because now the Spirit of God speaks to everyone, not just the Pope, not just the prophet. He speaks to everyone. When I'm asking him, he will speak to me. Number three, when he tells you with your notepad and your pen, you write it down. We don't have time this morning, but I would like to give you a test. I'm going to give you 27 words, just words, not sentences, not paragraphs. I'm going to give you 27 words. I want you to hear them, and then I'm going to say go, and I would like you to write down all 27 in order. Are you ready? How many of you are ready to take the challenge, 27-word challenge? How many of you are ready? All two of you. We'll do it later. When you inquire of the Lord and the Lord starts speaking to you, I want to encourage you to write it down. Can I just make just one point in that? Can you imagine if when God spoke to people in days past that they didn't write it down, where we'd be today? All you got to do is if you go, I don't like writing and I don't want to write and I'm crappy at writing, just grab your Bible and go, maybe I should learn to write. Because I'm benefiting from someone else's writing in my life. Number four, get Logos confirmation. When you are asking and inquiring of the Lord and the Lord speaks to you, you get a rhema word. You go into the word. You go into the logos word. Can I just say this to you? You will never get a rhema word from God that will contradict the logos word. If somebody comes to you and says, I had a dream, I had a vision, and it is contrary to the logos word, you know that is false. You get confirmation from the logos word. Would you write down number 5? Then you develop an inner image. How many of you know the name Craig Hill? How many of you know the name? How many of you have taken his ministry, Ancient Paths, Blessing to Cursing? How many of you have taken that ministry? I will never forget when Craig Hill made a statement. He said, until you see it on the inside, it's not going to manifest on the outside. When God lays something upon your heart, you say, God, I need to see it. Faith sees it on the inside before it manifests on the outside. He went through a teaching on inner image, and I'll tell you, it was powerful. There's a pile of the church today has no inner image of what God is wanting to do. Would you write down number 6? When you've heard from the Lord, what he's asking you to believe for, you write out a declaration. You write it out in a way that it is easy to write out. It is clear what he's asking you to be declaring and believing for. You write it out. And number 7, you begin declaring it daily, verbally. Why verbally? Faith is what? Voice activated. My dog is standing back over there, and I want him to come here. I'm going to look at my dog. I'm going to give him my brain power. How long would I stand here before my dog reads my mind and comes to where I'm at? How long? How long would Jesus have looked at that fig tree and been thinking, you die, you're going to die, you're never going to bear fruit again? He's going to think it. How long would it have taken? Imagine at the beginning of creation, God looks over all of creation. He says, Jesus, we're going to do something beautiful here. He goes, Jesus, would you just think about what you want to do? What would have happened? Everything came into being when Jesus thought. Correct? No. Everything came into being when he spoke. Begin declaring daily, verbally. Would you write down number 8? Be obedient to any instruction. When God came to Moses, when God came to Noah and said, Noah, I'm going to be sending a flood. I want to save a remnant. I want all of those who believe to be inside that boat. I want you to make it that way. What would happen if Noah would have said, God, I believe you, but I'm not building a boat? Can I ask you just a really dumb question? Would that have been evidence that Noah believed? What was the evidence that Noah believed? God, I believe you. Boys, we're going to start a 100-year project. All you got to do is read the book of James. Somebody says, boy, my words, I tell you, I believe. He goes, no, your words mean nothing. When I see the action to your words, then I know you believe. For the majority of things that God is having you believe for, there is going to be something that requires obedience on your and my part. Abraham had to leave his family. Moses had to go back to Egypt. Would you write down number 9? At the end of it, you give thanks. At the end of it, you give thanks. Can I ask you, what does flesh do? When does flesh give thanks? After it happens, after you see it, after it's all done, you go, oh, thank you. I appreciate you doing that and giving that to me. Thank you. When does faith do it? Faith gives thanks at the very beginning. The moment I hear it, oh, God, thank you that you're going to be doing that. Thank you. Faith declares what's not yet as though it already were. You can tell people who function in faith because the moment God lays something on their heart, they begin giving thanks for it. I'll never forget when Bill Winston said, the moment God tells you something, it's the title deed. You've already got it. It may need a little time to manifest. That doesn't matter. I begin thanking now. Can I give you one example? Every day of Jane in my life, every Tuesday when Micah and I come to the healing room, can I give you one example? We're no longer praying for Micah. We've prayed. You know what we're doing? We're thanking God for her healing, thanking that she's walking. Thank you that she's running. Thank you that she's riding a bike. Thanking. We're done asking. Do you know why? Because God heard us the first time. Isn't a day goes by we are not declaring verbally, daily. We're declaring what God has told us to believe for. And I'll just say this to you. We're not going to stop declaring. I don't care how long it takes. We're not stopping declaring until it's manifest. We're thanking until it manifests. And it's going to manifest. Philippians 4 says this. Pray with thanksgiving. Only faith does that. Let me give you some categories. Just write these down really quickly. You're sitting before the Father. You're going, God, what do you want me to believe for? I find it easier when I go, God, what do you want to believe for things in my life? One category, my life. God, what do you want me to believe for my marriage? I ask him that. God, what do you want me to believe for in my marriage? God, what do you want me to believe for my children? What do you want me to believe for my work? What do you want me to believe for? I love it when, how many of you were here last week when we prayed for Gordon and Margaret when they left? How many of you were here? Yeah, I loved, Gordon made that statement. How old is his boss again? 18 flipping years old. 19, just turning 19, that's right. And Gord goes, when I first talked to him, he goes, you know, he says, I really was praying and believing for that job. He goes, you know what, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of paperwork, it's a lot of government stuff. He goes, but I believe I'm here to get that 18-year-old saved. Isn't that great? Oh, I started praying for that 18-year-old because then you have Gord on you, you look out. Praying for your work. God, what do you want me to believe for my ministry? Just raise your hand. How many of you know the ministry that God has called you to? You know your ministry. Raise your hand high. I want to see. I know what I'm preaching on next week. Every one of us have a ministry. God, what is it that you are wanting me to believe for my ministry? I want to tell you one of the things Jane and I, God laid in my heart when we were gone. And I say it this way, I spend time with the sun in the sun. One of the byproducts was a brown body. I'm not looking for that. I'm spending time with the sun in the sun. One of the things the Lord said, Jane and I are doing it almost daily, not every day, almost. How many of you know the prayer of Jabez? I haven't prayed that prayer for years. The Lord said really clearly, he goes, Call, I want you to pull that out. I want you to begin praying and declaring that every day this year. I want you to do that. Even if we're not doing it together, I'm doing it. One of those things is, God, enlarge our territory. We're praying that every day. God, enlarge our territory. I like what Peter says in Chosen. He goes, he told me I'm going to be a fisher of men. I have no idea what that means, but it's exciting. I don't know what that looks like, our territory being enlarged, but I'll tell you, if he tells me to declare it, I'm declaring it, and I'm going to watch how he's going to take that territory and enlarge it. Praying for our ministry. God, what do you want me to believe for our church? Can I say this to you really clearly? When you spend time with God at this table and you say, God, what do you want me to believe for? Can I tell you this? I believe God is going to tell every one of you one or two things. I want you to begin believing this for Solid Rock. I want you to begin believing it. Okay, I'll believe it. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to start declaring it daily. God, you're wanting to do things in and through this church. I'm a believer. You're going to hear things for this church. Would you write down your health? God, what are you asking me to believe for my health? What are you asking me to believe for? I'm believing for things for my health. I am. God, what are you asking me to believe for our finances? Don't think, man, I got my RSPs all in order. Everything is good. We are comfortable. We just got to make sure that we don't lose more money in the mutuals because we're really good for the rest of our life. No, God, what are you asking me to believe for? What are you asking me to believe? He might come to you like the rich young ruler and go, I want you to give it all away and trust me. He might do that. Well, there goes another one walking away. I love what Kenneth Copeland said. That young man, when he walked away with his earthly riches, he lost more wealth than ever. If he'd have given it away and followed Christ, he'd have been a richer man than he ever would have been with all his cash bags. Flesh doesn't get that. God, what do you want me to believe for in our finances? God, what do you want me to believe for our community? We live in Camrose. We live in Holden. We live in Daysland. We live in Wetaskiwin. We live in Leduc. We live in Bashaw. We live somewhere. God, what do you want me to believe for our community? What do you want me to believe for our country? It's a good question. God, what do you want me to believe? I am in Canada. What do you want me to believe? And begin declaring every day over our country. Do you think God has a plan for our country? Can I ask you that? Do you think he's looking for someone to believe for Canada? Might he find it in this room? God on the world scene. On the world scene, it's a big picture. God, I'm just asking the question. I'm not smart enough. What do you want me to believe for? God lays something on your heart. He may give you five things he wants you to believe for in the world scene. Okay, God, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to begin doing it. I'm going to begin declaring your will over the world scene. I'm going to be a believer. That's what I'm going to do. That's my job. I'm going to do it. Those are just a few categories. Is Dana here? No, she's gone. Zach, can I have you? Could I have you come? You got any questions about this? You feel free to contact me, get hold of me. Any of you watching online, you got an issue, question, you just give me a call. Would you bow with me this morning in a word of prayer? Holy Spirit, this morning, I know that you have been powerfully at work imprinting on us our job description in the kingdom. I'm a believer. And you have called me to believe. And so I release a grace over every one of us in this body, those under the sound of my voice, I release a grace that for those who are going to enter into the Holy of Holies and sit in the presence of the Father and ask the defining question. God, I know you're looking for people. You have looked for people all down through time who would believe and believe the impossible, but they believed. God, what do you want me to believe for? I'm not bringing my agenda. I'm not bringing my wish list. I'm not bringing my Santa Claus list. I'm not doing it. With an empty notepad and a pen, I'm coming for your list, your agenda, your purpose, your will. And so right now I release a grace over every person, Holy Spirit, that out of this room you would move, you would stir inside of their heart to carve out that time, to enter into that place. I release a grace over their spiritual ears that as you begin to speak, they would hear with clarity as a son and daughter. And as they hear, they would begin to write. You would confirm it with your Logos word. And Holy Spirit, you would begin to plant an inner image, a finished picture at the very beginning. And I release a grace as daily we begin to declare. Daily as we begin to open our mouth and as we begin to speak out your will and we declare the end from the beginning, we declare what's not yet as though it already were. I thank you that you will do what you've always done. You will accomplish and bring to fruition your will. Father, I thank you that in every one of our lives, there was that appointed time when you empowered us by your Spirit to believe in you, to move from death to life, to move from religion to relationship. If you are here today or you are listening, and there has never been a time where you have prayed the prayer to receive Jesus into your life, that is the greatest thing the Father is wanting you to believe for. And He is releasing the power to you to believe. If the cry of your heart is to receive Christ today, I just invite you to pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. And I believe you rose again from the dead. As an act of my will, I invite you to come into my life. Wash me clean of all my sin. And sit on the throne of my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. And I ask you to open my spiritual ears that I can hear your voice. And beginning today, to be led by you. If you have prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family of God. The Bible says you have been born again. Family, would you stand with me this morning and receive the benediction of the Lord? I am going to stand up here and I am going to think the benediction. And I would like you to be blessed. How's it going, church? Faith is voice activated. Would you receive it? The Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you, and today fill you with His peace and a desire to hear His voice, to be a believer. I declare that in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and everybody receiving said, Amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week. And I remind you and encourage you, believe.